Coming up on TMS PM, how good is Brian at trivia, really?
Oh, we'll find out. Let's take a look at some apps.
Your Twitter questions and more on this episode of the TMS PM show.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night.
TMS PM.
Oh, hey everybody, welcome back to TMS PM for Friday, July 13th, my mom's 80th birthday. Bing, 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 bing.
Happy birthday, Mama Johnson.
Bing. Yeah, she hit the big old 80 today. And
Her last name is now.
Yeah, De Palma, like Brian De Palma.
De Palma. Oh, very, really?
Very Italian, yeah.
Oh, dude, why didn't you say Scott De Palma?
Because
it's TMS with Scott De Palma and Brian Evans.
Because they've only been married since 05, and I just didn't think so? To change at all. So whatever.
Scott De Palma.
He comes from a long line of Italian gangsters. And
nice.
Yeah. So it's a little rough when we go over there. But anyway, happy birthday, Mom. We're going to actually celebrate it with a huge thing in August because that's when my sister gets here. My brother comes up from Phoenix then. Like, the whole family will be around. So we're doing a huge bash for her birthday. And that'll be great. But for now.
I wonder if Kim will make any food for that. Do you think?
Gosh,
you think
I wonder if she'll have any sort of food function there. She came home today and only has a stack of tortillas and a couple of yogurts and a couple of canned sodas left from her huge meal thing all week. Yeah, they used it all.
She really planned perfectly, like brought just the right amount, sounds like.
She did. She's some kind of weird wizard lady, and I suppose I should be glad that I married her.
And those will make great yogurt doggeritos. So.
Yeah. Oh, don't even get me started on what I'm going to do with those. So excited. all right. So we are going to now do something I've never done with you. I don't think.
Sure.
I mean, I test you sometimes on dumb quizzes and stuff. But have I really ever constructed quality trivia and then laid it before you to see if you knew any of it? Have I done that?
Oh, wait a minute. So you actually construct, you wrote this quiz?
I wrote this quiz last night when I couldn't sleep I was bored and I went, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to write a quiz for Brian for tomorrow.
Oh, I this even more now. And I liked it a lot beforehand. Now, I like it, I would say, 38% more.
Oh, my gosh. Really? Okay.
Yes.
38% more. Here's our theme.
That's what she said.
Because it's called That's What She Said. It's MASH trivia. Okay? Because
The uninitiated might say That's What She Said is office trivia. But I'm all right. I'm all right with this.
You're going to let this one slide. Okay. So here's the deal. MASH is on a lot in our house again because it's on Hulu now and it's all widescreen and that's cool and the kids are into it and they love that show. So it's on a lot. So I thought, why don't I take some of our collective love for this show, this old show MASH, and make some trivia out of it. Nothing too long. This isn't a very long quiz, but I want to see how Brian would do on a quiz that I came up with whole cloth on my own. I didn't look any of this up. It was just stuff I knew, and I thought, well, I wonder if he also knows these things.
So it's also a quiz to test what I think you know about MASH, right?
Because
if you didn't vet any of these answers, it's how well does Scott know MASH enough to write questions for Brian to get right?
That is correct. And chat room, your job, if any of these look screwy or sound weird to you, you guys can do a little bit of producer work and find out for us and let us know if we're screwed up here or not. Sure. All right. All right. Here we go. Are you ready for your first question?
I am. Oh, boy.
All right. Here's what you're going to hear. I'm using the old Current Geek file, so you'll hear this. If you get it right, that. If you get it wrong, perfect. I should have done a MASH sounds, but I didn't think of it.
And we don't have a gavel. Oh, well. That's
no,
all right.
No, it's fine. Right. And Tom's not here, so F that guy. So here you go. Your first question is an easy one, I think, so we'll start with a softball.
Okay. It was a baby.
Who?
It was a baby.
You're right. It was never a chicken. It was always a baby. All right. Let's start with this one. Who did Margaret Houlihan marry?
Oh, Donald Penobscot.
Okay, see? Softball. Nice, easy one.
All right. All right. Geez, okay.
This is good. Just softening you up.
All right.
Next one.
Crossing my fingers. Okay.
Which hand does radar often hide as it is a deformity of the actor? His hand is deformed. Which one is it?
So he's missing a finger, I believe. So this is really 50-50, but I'm trying to think of one I've seen. So he holds the clipboard and you usually see his right hand. So I think he hides his left.
You are correct.
Yeah.
Also, it's also kind of shrunken. There's missing a finger. It's shrunken, really? And I don't think he has full functionality of his middle and whatever his
fingers. Oh, I didn't realize it was that. Wow.
Yeah,
that
it looks like a little. It's almost like Bob Dole says he had that kind of thing, right?
But not like Kristen Wiig's character on that Lawrence Welk parody that they did on Saturday Night
Live. No, not like the tiny little doll hands, no.
Okay, good.
Oh, I love that. That was so good.
Yeah, that was a favorite, yeah.
All right, doing well so far. Next one. Whew. In what season did Charles Emerson Winchester replace Frank Burns?
Bonus
points, by the way, if you know the title of the episode or the number of the episode.
Oh, geez.
You don't need to.
I won't be able to tell you that.
Yeah.
All right. So in the beginning, mm-hmm. it was Hawkeye and Trapper John and Major Burns.
Yeah.
And then Trapper left first. BJ came.
Yeah.
Because BJ and Hawkeye would pick on Frank Burns as well.
Yeah.
But only for a season. And I think that Trapper John lasted two seasons. So I think he left at the end of a season. I think he left at the end of season two. BJ came in at the beginning of season three. And then season four was when.
That was a glitch.
No, that's all right. I was going to say season four. So if season four is wrong, then.
Sorry. If it was right, I would hit ding, but it's not. That was a total accident, though. I fumble fingered that, but not on purpose. The actual answer is season six.
Season.
Yeah.
Further. Wow.
Surprised me as well, to be honest. I'd forgotten how long it took for him to get there.
I thought Winchester, with the late, great David Ogden Stiers, who we lost earlier this year, came in a lot sooner.
It's basically halfway through the series, which is why it seems like we got a ton of Charles, because we did.
Yeah.
It's just that it was halfway through. The episode was called Fade Out, Fade In, Part 1. There was a two-parter episode where he got screwed out of a job in Tokyo and had to come work at the MASH unit.
That's right.
It was the 128th episode overall of the show, MASH.
And there were a few episodes where, like, Major Burns had escaped,
mm-hmm.
like, out of anger over Houlihan marrying Donald Penobscot.
Yeah.
And just went AWOL. But there was a few episodes where they didn't, like, where there was no replacement.
There was nobody there. Yeah. There was no him. And they're also weirdly. There's a huge chunk of like season four through six, maybe even a little beyond that, but that's about where I'm at, where Radar is very rarely there.
Yeah,
like he's on the show, but he's just not there, and they don't explain it. Like one day they have these Olympics on the can thing, and there's no Radar. He's just not there.
Huh.
So, and they don't make any allusions to it. They don't say anything about it. It's almost like the old spear chucker guy from the first season.
Right. Oh, spear chucker. God, which,
man.
How do they get, like, could not have a character named Spear Chucker in 2018.
Well, he's in the, so that guy's in the book and he's in the movie. And then he was in that first season for a chunk of it. But like three quarters through the first season, him and Ugly John, the guy from Australia.
Ugly John.
Poof,
yeah.
Gone.
Just disappeared. Yeah, they took Chuck Cunningham with them too, didn't they?
They had these weird ancillary characters that just, you thought they were supposed to be there, and then suddenly they just weren't there anymore.
With no explanation.
No. But Spear Chucker Jones, kind of an unfortunate name.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Here's your next question.
Okay.
So far, you're two right, one incorrect.
Two and three. Two and one, yeah.
In what body of water did Henry's plane go down when it went down?
Oh, the Sea of Japan.
That is.
There were no survivors.
That is correct. Radar, put on a mask. Remember that whole thing?
Yes, totally.
All right. How many characters? Oh, let's put a one next to that. I'm trying to keep score here. Okay. How many characters did Harry Morgan play on MASH?
He played two. So he played Colonel Potter, but then he also, like a few seasons earlier, played like a general or something.
General is correct. Do you know his name for an extra point?
Oh, geez. General Disorder.
You are incorrect, but you are correct about the main part. He played two characters on the show. He played a character called General Steel. He was crazy, like an actual Section 8 insane person.
Right.
And was really funny. And that was not even a full season before he came in as Colonel Potter, which is crazy.
Oh, that close, really?
Yeah, it was
wow.
super close. So real weird.
Nobody will notice.
No one will notice this guy. No one will notice this somewhat famous actor from Dragnet coming in here yeah. twice. No one will notice. All right, next question. When BJ brings the new nurses that show up in camp some shampoo, he says it was because he couldn't find any what?
Oh, good Lord. Okay, let's see. That's oddly specific, Scott.
I love this one. It's one of my favorite lines in the show. That's why I used it.
Some shampoo. I couldn't find any. I'm going to guess, it was like I couldn't find any flowers, but I'm going to say something more specific. I couldn't find any daffodils.
All right. Is it daffodils? Incorrect. The answer is, and I'll give you the full line. He says, "We brought you some shampoo because we couldn't find any real poo." Ding, ding.
Oh, that's very good. Yeah, that's excellent.
I love that joke.
Oh, John, Florida, 1968, nailed that one.
Oh, well done. Good job, John.
Well done.
Final question. Who played Hawkeye in the Robert Altman film, MASH?
Okay, so...
Now, this is tricky because the reason you're hesitating is the reason I hesitate on this. So I know what you're going through right now.
I think it was Donald Sutherland. I'm going to say Donald Sutherland.
Let's double check. That is correct.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Even though he looks more like Trapper John with the curly blonde hair.
Yeah, they flipped their brunette blondie thing
right.
in the movie. Or the movie, Trapper was played by Monica's dad and Ross's dad.
Elliot Gould.
Yeah, and he was Trapper, and he looks like Trapper except for the color of his hair and his mustache is all dark. And then... what's his name's all kind of sandy blonde, and it kind of threw me when I was a kid. But anyway,
and really, they're the Heckle and Jekyll. I mean, until they start developing their characters more,
right?
They are the same character.
Yeah, exactly.
Wise cracking doctor.
So here's what you got out of seven questions, which is all I came up with. You got everything right, but two: cool. The replacement of Charles and the BJ shampoo thing, which were probably the two screwiest, hardest to do. I think you've done real well.
Well, thanks.
Yeah. Good
so does
job.
Does that mean I get a cup of coffee, Scott? Does it mean I get a cup? Does it, for once, could you invite me in for a stinking cup of coffee?
Harry Potter's forehead is marked with the lightning bolt of the.
Wait, this isn't Colonel Potter. Oh, here it is.
That's what she said.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah. You maybe haven't gotten to the episode of my reference. I mean, I know you know it. But...
do it again. Give me the reference.
Did you ever offer me a stinking cup of coffee?
No, it's where the nurses all hate Margaret because she's so stern.
And then, they just don't treat her like a friend because she's in a position of authority, and so they giggle behind her back.
And she's like the boss, so they don't feel comfortable doing that. And so when she finally breaks down about the coffee, you know what I've learned about her? She is freaking loud, man. Like, Loretta Swit, all power to you. Nice. She seems like she's probably a very nice lady. But everything she says in that show is on volume 11, and it drives me a little bit bonkers.
Really hoping I'd get a question about Kelly Nakahara.
Oh,
Kelly.
I almost did, because she was in the episode I watched last night. Just
yeah,
about
do you know
how
who
to
played
come.
Her?
No, it is someone I should know. What's her deal?
You should know this. You should absolutely know the name of the actress.
Okay. Do I know her from
her
something else? Is that why?
Her name is Kelly Nakahara.
Okay. But who?
I'm sorry. On the show, she was Kelly Yamato. I thought she was Kelly Nakahara.
Like, oh.
They just used her regular name because it was appropriate to the character.
Oh, they just used Kelly then. All right.
They did use Kelly, yeah.
Yeah, I liked her.
Tony Danza her.
I liked her because she was like... She was like... Not Rhino. What's his name? Who runs the... Igor. He's like Igor who runs Igor. Why did I say Rhino?
I don't know.
What's wrong with me?
Rhino, the Russian... let's see. The Russian supervillain of Spider-Man, is his real name Igor? It's something Russian.
Oh, maybe I'm conflating those. It's possible.
No, that seems like an awful weird connection. Yeah. We saw her, by the way, in the movie Clue for Film Sec. She was the cook.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Nurse Kelly.
Or maybe we did talk about that and I just have
we did.
Been too long now.
She was killed.
Oh,
she was
geez.
Killed and they had to find her killer as well.
Mm.
They decided it just wasn't enough to kill Mr. Body.
After a courtesy date with Hawkeye Pierce, she was killed.
That's right. Oh, I forgot about that episode.
Remember that? She was like,
yep.
He was kind of forcing it, and she was like, Hawkeye, you don't have to do this. And it was one of those little relationship-y things. Yeah.
Yeah.
She was good, though. I liked her on there.
Yeah.
Anyway, and don't forget, There were other actors, by the way, who either played multiple characters like Harry Morgan or were played by different people. So Penobscot was two different dudes on two different episodes. So he only showed up twice where he was actually on camera, and he was two totally different guys both times. And then there are a couple of Korean ladies that were used for Rosie's Bar. She was Rosie. Oh, she was also some peasant.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. That's probably bad that they're just like, well, they all look the same. Just put her in the other role. I don't know. I don't know what was going on.
Well, and even though Kelly Nakahara, you know, appeared in a ton of episodes, she played Lieutenant Baker, registered nurse in one episode, Lieutenant Charlie, registered nurse in another
really?
One.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. That's crazy. But anyway, Radar is the only consistent thing from the movie throughout the entire show. Because he was Radar in the movie, and he was Radar on the show. And no one else from the movie was anybody in the show. Except
if you would have asked me that, I would have thought Father.
Mulcahy.
Mulcahy. Father McConaughey.
McConaughey.
Not all right. That's not all right.
Yeah,
all right,
this Father, I have sinned. I killed a guy. All right. But he doesn't.
These
really
patients keep getting younger, and I keep staying the same age.
Yeah, no. Oh, that was the other guy that was played by two different people. Because in season one, very briefly, they had a Mulcahy, especially in the pilot, played by some other random dude. And then William Christopher was the guy from then on. And he died. We're losing all our MASH people.
He did, yeah.
That's no good. Jamie Farr looks
like he is. Stay safe, Alan Alda.
Yeah. Jamie Farr looks like he is barely hanging on. Like, just looking like a withered up thing where his nose is going to lean over one day and it's going to fall over and he's not going to make it. I hope.
I can wrap myself up in bubble wrap. How about that, Beej? Would that be all right? Can I do that, BJ?
You know, it's not a bad Alan Alda. It's really
not. It's not Bill Hader level.
No, but it isn't bad. I'm going to say it's actually all right.
Well, for not having seen an episode of MASH in 15, 20 years.
Oh, it's been that long, and you did this
it's
well.
It's been that long. I've not seen an episode of MASH in a long time.
Well, then props to Brian for 5 out of 7 is pretty damn good.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, well done.
You're on your second binge watch recently, too. Like, a few years ago, during TMS time, you've been binge watched MASH.
I did. I'm doing it again. I don't know why. Actually, it's mainly my family. I just live here.
What's your favorite weird episode of MASH?
You like the bottle episodes where they're just kind of on their own?
Yes.
Probably, thematically, I was a fan of the ones where it was a contradiction between, like, they'd show an entertainment newsreel. An actual one from the 50s and say things like Clark Gable walked out today with his best friend Billy. What's going on, Billy? You know, like this kind of thing. And then it would cut to the operating room and it would be this clash of like, oh my gosh, all this happy, shiny crap is going on at home. But out here, everyone's up to their elbows in blood. And I always liked those. I always thought those were, they had a point and I liked the point. But as far as like the weirdness, probably the one with the guy who's like ghost. Do you remember that?
Yes. That was one of the ones I was thinking is like, okay, that was like basically where he was wandering around and interacting, but the show is that episode was focused on him and him walking around with all the doctors and
seeing everything happen, but they couldn't see him except at the end. Didn't one of the regular, I think it was Klinger, was hurt.
Who was
sick.
Hallucinating because he was sick. He could see him, yes.
And he actually saw the guy because he was closer to death.
There was another little weird supernatural episode of MASH. The other one with the, where they all have nightmares.
Oh, yeah.
They're like overworked and they're, you know, having all the nightmares.
I don't like Alan Alda nightmares because the way he screams, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. It really it sticks with me and makes me feel bad.
He does have a really weird like cackle yell or the one with the clock in the bottom corner where it's real time.
Oh right. I forgot they did that. Yeah.
Yeah.
They did like fake documentary ones that were in black and white and the guy would like talk to the doctors and stuff. Those were always good. Yeah, I liked their bottle episodes. I don't like shows that do that normally, but I thought they did a pretty good job with it.
No, I mean, you know, X-Files did it well with like the Charles Nelson Reilly episode.
You're right. The Boogeyman of the Week style stuff they would do that was like not part of the Smoking Man story or whatever.
Yep, not part of the wider lore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I miss all these things. I guess that's great because we can watch it all if we want to.
Yeah.
Hey.
What's it on Netflix?
Hulu.
Hulu has it all.
Hulu.
Netflix had it before. They lost it. Went over to Hulu. When Netflix had it, they just had the 4x3 versions. This is all 16x9 widescreen. Wow. Looks really good.
How do they do it? I don't know, because it wasn't like that in the original. So.
Well, same with Seinfeld. I think what it is is they film
just
it.
Trim enough off the top.
Yeah, I think it gets filmed in widescreen because that's just film, and then they crop it for broadcast. And so it just depends on what master you're going from, I think. I think that's how that works. I don't actually know that for sure. But I do know this. That sound right there means we're going to review apps. We have two of them today. One from me, one from Brian.
App Slappy.
All right, here's a chance for us to talk about some apps that we are using, interested in, like, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's all very exciting. Let's get right to it. Brian, I'm going to start with mine. This is an app for my phone. And I'm going to recommend it for my phone because I just think it's better suited for your phone.
Better on that, okay. Sure.
But it's only because it's like quick pickup, use your thumb, put it away sort of thing. It would run great on an iPad and look great. Yeah. Or a tablet or whatever. If you've got an Android tablet, it would look great on there. I don't actually know if this is on multi-platform because I usually check and I forgot to. But the name of the game...
while you're doing it.
Yeah, yeah. The name of this is called Look, comma, Your Loot! Exclamation point. So like, look, your loot!
Right.
Like that. It's kind of a
It is on Google Play. It is on Android.
Oh, it is. Okay, good.
Yep.
You're a mouse.
Okay.
I'm not trying to offend you. I'm just telling you how what it's like
in
this game.
In the game,
yeah.
I see. Okay.
In the game, you play a little mouse guy, and you might be a warrior guy, you might be a wizard, you might be a ranger type, you know, with arrows and stuff. Uh-huh. As you might think this might be, I might be heading down RPG alley here because I like that kind of stuff.
Sure.
And anyway, you pick your class and you hop in. Now, we're both fans of those weird little card games like Card Thief and Dungeon Crawl and all that kind of stuff. This is kind of like those, maybe more Card Thief than the other. You're presented with a grid and you can decide how much of that grid you want. So it can be a grid of 4, grid of 6, grid of 9, kind of exponentially up to, I forget what the total number is. And then the more grid you have, the harder it is.
Sure.
But basically, you're a little dude, you've got a certain amount of armor or life points. You can add armor by picking up armor, and you do that by sliding to other slots. I'm actually going to look this up so people can see it. Let's see. Look your loot. Okay. Here we go. This is pretty cool. So here we go, chat. You can see it now, I think, if I get this properly. All right. This person's playing it on PC. You can also play it on PC. I should mention that. This isn't just on mobile, but it just came out on mobile. So what you're supposed to do is, from your position, you click on the stuff adjacent to you. Now, one of the things adjacent to you might be a barrel. You click on that barrel, it explodes, and inside the barrel was a key, or gold, or a potion or something. And then next to that is a potion that gives you life back, so you can, you know, get your life back. You click on a bad guy. He has a number that represents his power. So if his power is 7 and you only have 8 life points, you will be down to 1 life point if you click him. So that's how much he hurts you. So it's strategic in that, like, maybe I want to get up and around to that shield so I can have +5 to shield before I attack him.
Right.
Then I can afford to attack him. Because if their number is bigger than your number, you're going to die. So basically it's your life number and any shield you've picked up is the math on that. So if I have 10 life and 2 shield, I have 12 total hit points, basically.
Okay.
They're like alligators and bugs and rats and stuff that you're fighting. Again, the shields and the money and all this stuff is sort of random. You, in roguelike fashion, once you've beaten this game or, you know, cleared stuff, you can go back out to the main thing, purchase some upgrades, and then go into the next fight a little bit more, you know, well off.
Yeah.
It's less card. It's not really cards. It's just like, hey, I'm moving around a grid. What I like about it the most is how fast and just kind of quick game. Oh, sweet. Let's do another one. Let's do another one. Like, it doesn't feel like a drawn out experience. You don't have to, you know, invest a ton of time in it. It looks really nice. There's some cool spells and weird stuff as you keep getting further and further into these dungeons.
Really cool. I mean, I'm watching gameplay video of it right now, and I love this. And the fireball shoots in every direction as soon as you land on it.
Yeah, it has to. So what you have to do is if there's an enemy anywhere touching you, the fireball will affect them. There's also this weird mini game when you get like a chest to unlock where you have to pick a lock. And it sounds weird, but it actually works really well. Surprisingly fun little thing. It's a little shocking how much I'm into it. Especially with such a dumb name. Like, Look, Your Loot is
look,
a stupid
your loot.
Name. Yeah, this is a stupid
But
name.
The graphics are cool. I mean, and it's a great concept.
Yeah, totally. And it's great on PC as well, although I haven't played it there. I hear a lot of people really like it on that format. That's where it started. But it's perfect for phones. Just easy click, get in, boom, bam, you're done.
The floor with the spikes that alternates between 3 and 0.
Yeah, it'll do other random stuff too. So you want what you're trying to do there is like, well, you can only disarm that trap safely if it's at 0. But if it's at 2, it's almost like floor spikes that pop up and pop down.
Yeah.
Like you do in a regular RPG. So if you get it when it's 0, it won't hurt you. But if it's it's higher than 0, you'll take a hit. It's good. It's real good. And you can, like the video I'm showing the chat room right now, this guy's lasting forever. I don't know why he's so good, but he's kicking the trash.
I bet we're looking at the same one. Yeah, the gameplay preview. Igor. Yeah. Igor Sunstev.
Yeah, that guy. That's the guy.
That's Igor.
He's up to 13 hit points already. And he's, every time he, I don't know, you also level up in the game, but I can't remember how. I can't remember how you level up. But you do. You level up in the game, and then you get more hit points. You can have more attack power. He's playing the mage. I've only so far done the warrior because you have to clear the warrior's game to even get the other. But this person's really good. Igor, well done, Igor. You're killing
it. Nice job, Igor. I love the graphics, too. Gorgeous.
So anyway, that game is called Look Your Loot. It is available now on all mobile platforms as well as the PC, and I really like it. Brian, what did you bring today?
I'm bringing a game that I have to close this one to look at. It's
forgot. Battleheart 2 is out, everybody. Battleheart 2. Go take your brains back to 2011. When this show started, back in 2011, there was a little game out called Battleheart, and it was fantastic for mobile. And then those guys just kind of went silent for a long time, and they had a little offshoot game at one point, but nobody talked anymore, and that was it. And we thought, well, I guess that was fun. No more Battleheart. No. Today in 2018 and a premium app, $3.99, you can go get yourself Battleheart 2. All right, that's all I had to say.
I'm picking this up right now. Look at that.
Remember that game?
Oh, look at those graphics, too. Like, it's been all
3D-ized. Yeah. Remember how good that was? It was great.
That was good. I remember playing that. I played that in the car while Tina was driving us to Nerdtacular.
See? This is the kind of world we're living in now. It's fantastic. All right, sorry. I interrupted you. You now can tell me about Up Left Out.
Up Left Out, available on iOS, Google Play, and Steam. This is just your typical Brian likes a good puzzler kind of game. As a matter of fact, you're going to get this, and you're going to say, where are the instructions? Where's how to play? It doesn't tell me anything. It's just that good. So you've got yourself a grid, and I'm levels in, so I just went back to like one of the early levels. Mm-hmm. And you see all these little white squares with notches in them.
Yeah.
And they're on little blue pegs, and as you move them, hold on a sec. Let me move my. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to look bigger.
You're going to look, but ooh,
I've heard. I'm going to try to look bigger. Okay, so let's move this guy right here, and you'll see when I do. Oops.
Oh, okay.
That little peg pulls out of it. And now that thing can move freely. So there's only one space he can go. He can only go there. Yeah. But and same with all these. So as you move them, you got to figure out the right order in which to move these guys out. It's like a sliding number puzzle. And you've got to figure out how to move them all out. So there's a next one, and it just as soon as you complete a level, it goes to the next level for you. It's a very, very simple to understand game, and as you get further and further in, it's like, oh man, how do I do this?
You have to pull away from the direction that there's a slot, right?
Right. I mean, it's really, exactly. It's like you imagine that there's a little peg there and that little slot, and you have to slide it off that slot, and then the peg flips back. It flips into the ground or something. And then once you do that, it can move around freely. It's a free game. I believe it is anyway. I've got a long time, well, not a long time ago. Got it a couple weeks ago. And I can't remember if I paid nothing for it or if I paid a dollar. It might have been $1.99, but there are no ads. There are There's no freemium, you know, like spend money to buy gold, help you get through levels. You just, if you don't get through the level, you don't move on to the next one.
Looking basically. At one right now in the video where it's rotating, or you get to rotate it. Is that a mechanic?
That's a thing. It's a mechanic in the game where you can click a little button. Sometimes they have these on the side where it rotates, and you've got to figure out, okay, well, if I rotate this section, and there'll be walls within the grid, you rotate, and it's like, oh, now I can move this one. Oh, but this one won't move, so I have to rotate it back. That actually is one of the nicer things about this game. You don't have to... there's no bonus if you complete it in like 5 moves instead of 25 moves. Mm-hmm, as you're figuring it out, you can be like, oh, whoops, all right, I got that one out. That's all right. I can move all these back out of the way and I can get that one in the bottom corner.
Oh, I like that. I don't like the pressure of having to like redo it because you want to get the higher score.
Like, oh, you only got 1 star on this level because you did it in too many moves. It's like, no, you just, as long as you get all those things off their pegs, then you win. And that's, I like the no pressure of that.
This is so up your alley. This is such a Brian Ebbett game.
It totally is. It's absolutely up my alley. Up Left Out is the name of the game. It's iOS, Google Play, and Steam. And it is a freaking blast.
Ah, you like to play. That's fantastic. I'm looking at a green screen right now. It's so perfect. You went ahead and did your voice from Ireland. Yarr.
That looks hard, but I might check it out.
It's not. It's easy. You can do it, Scott.
I should have mentioned that Look Your Loot is also free to download. The pay options are turn off. Is it turn off ads?
You get an occasional ad or something in there.
Something like that. I always opt for that whenever I can because I like to support developers.
Supports the developer and... although I take that back, I don't always do it. I do it often, but there was one time that I didn't do it that it let me know about a game that I'm currently enjoying, which I mentioned last week, which is that Hustle Castle.
Oh, right. Sometimes ads work, dude. Sometimes
they do.
I have found some games, like I found, you know, that one I told you about, the Battle Royale one I play all the time, my brain today. What's the name of this damn game?
The one that's like it's like Fortnite, but it's on the iPad and it's got a great interface.
Yeah. The top down one, but Battlelands Pro, whatever the hell it is.
That's right.
Anyway, that game is one I found on an ad on Instagram. Like, those ads work for me sometimes. Like, they seem to know what I like, and I sometimes
just
like
just has to be the right time, right frame of mind, be like, oh, I'm ready for something like that. Bring it. Bring it to me now.
Totally agree. All right. Let's discuss another item here, which is what? Oh, if you're listening right now going, man, I don't remember what they said about all this, the names and everything. I'm putting these up with every post for the PM. So if you want to know what the apps were that we talked about, they'll be up on the website, frogpants.com/TMS, latest episode. You'll click it, and right there, links to the 2 apps that we had and the names of them. Okay? So we don't want to leave. We're not leaving you in the lurch. There's no reason you won't be able to find this stuff. No. If you don't remember, Look Your Loot or Up Left Out.
And then we don't get these emails that say, what was the game you guys were describing about 3 months ago that had the, it had levels and there were, there was an object where you had to finish something.
Yeah, and you played it on your phone, I believe.
That's right, exactly. That was the one.
Yeah.
That got me to snort,
You did
man.
Snort. That was awesome. I love a good snort. I catch myself snorting a lot. Did you get the email I forwarded you about your snoring thing?
To Denver?
No, the snoring thing.
Oh, the sleep apnea. There's no reason we can't talk about that.
Let's talk about this for a sec.
Show.
Let's do it.
All right. So this came from Blair Slavin. I hope you don't mind me giving out your entire name.
Yeah.
And he said, he forwarded me, I think this probably came from an article. Pro tip, did you do the do? A 2005 study showed that playing the didgeridoo, a long wind instrument native to Australia, every day for 4 months significantly reduced participants' sleep apnea. Playing the didg, as it's affectionately called, trains you in what's called circular breathing, which requires intense control over your breath apparatus. That's a medical term, your breath apparatus.
Yeah.
I call it lungs. This appears to translate into more... Now, I mean, of course, it's the diaphragm and it's the all that stuff.
Sure.
This appears to translate into more control during the night when your unconscious self is in charge. In addition to sleep gains, playing the didge has also been shown to increase the number of invitations you receive to naked drum circle dance parties, which, of course, is why most of us want to do the do.
Oh, interesting. All right.
So... learn to play the didgeridoo, play it every day for 4 months. It doesn't say how long you have to play it every day. Like, am I playing it 24 hours a day every day for 4 months? Yeah. That doesn't seem worth it. I'll live with the sleep apnea.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't know. I actually wonder where you can get a didgeridoo. Like, there's not, you know, there's not a...
I don't know if you
Australian
can go to a store.
Dollar General in the, down the
right.
street from
the, you go into the mall. Hello, mate. Come in and get a thing. I don't know how
you
do it.
If you could buy one on Amazon, can you buy it? Let's see.
I'm sure you can. Can't you?
Yeah, but is it going to be a good one? Let's see. Didgeridoo.
Didgeridoo.
Musical instruments. Well, that is where I'd like to find it.
Let's take a look. Yeah.
Oh, a hand-fired modern didgeridoo, beeswax mouthpiece, easy player.
Yeah, look at this.
Oh, my God. There's a travel... A didgeridoo box, compact travel didgeridoo in mahogany.
Oh, yeah, look at this.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, they called me Easy Player in high school. That was my yeah, look
do
at
I
that.
Do I go with a professional didgeridoo, or do I go with, like, this little didgeridoo box?
I don't know. Like, what's... That's pretty good. I don't think you need one at all. I think suddenly we found our didgeridoo.
I don't need one. I can play it.
That's interesting. Who would have known? I wouldn't have thought you could get this on Amazon, but I don't know why I thought they didn't get anything on Amazon. Oh, there's a whole bunch of these. Handcrafted modern didgeridoo, beeswax mouthpiece, loud.
I kind of like this $40. It's like the vape of didgeridoos.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
totally
wow.
Is.
Do you see the picture of the guy playing it? Now that I see it. Hmm. And the dude looks like Colin Hay of Men at Work, by the way.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah.
Men at Work's Colin Hay.
Men at Work's Colin Hay.
Hmm. Hold on. Didgeridoo. I'm going to find us
I'll put it back on. I'll give you the link right here.
Here's the actual sound of one. Check this out. Wait. Here we go. No, let's get up here a little bit. And skip ahead here. Ooh, these are big ones. I could probably listen to that and sleep to it.
I could, yeah.
Why not?
I mean, that's all one instrument making that noise. Like, they're tapping on the sides, they're doing the blow to get the constant boom.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he's like moving his mouth and doing circular breathing to get
I was kind of fascinated by it as a kid, but I never really... I don't even think I knew it was called a didgeridoo until my 20s. So.
Okay, look at the... Oh, that's loud.
You have a loud one?
Yeah, so the link I just gave you...
Yeah, clicking it. Let's see here. It's an Amazon link. Take a look here. Oh, look at that. That's weird.
Okay, yeah.
It's a compact that travel didgeridoo. One? Yeah, should I play the video
That's
there?
What I'm saying. It's the vape of the didgeridoos. Yeah, play... turn down your volume and play that...
It's loud.
It is loud.
It seems like he's really working his throat and his neck, though, doesn't it?
You're supposed to. Right? That's your.
That's the idea.
That.
That's the point.
Yeah.
Right.
Hmm. And basically, they've just. It's just got. It's instead of being one long tube, it's if you go to the picture right above that, it shows you the airway, like just basically goes. Why can't I make? Seems like I could make one of these like a 3D printed digit, like that size.
I would worry about somebody doing this on the street. I'd look at this and go, all right, what are you doing there, buddy? Oh, yeah. It's a didgeridoo. Yeah, you're right. It's like a little maze in there.
Yes. I come from a bridge down under.
Yeah.
Please give me a quarter and I'll move along.
It kind of does look like him. Well, yeah. There you go. All right. That's my advice.
I'm putting it on my wish list. I might, you know, this is the time of year when my... When my parents asked me, what can we get you for your birthday, Brian?
Oh, there you go.
And I might ask for a nice didgeridoo box.
Yeah, the vape vape didgeridoo box, Vops.
The vape didgeridoo box.
That's awesome. I love it. All right.
Oh, yeah. Mark Spag could make me one, but he's too busy making his own things. He's
a busy boy.
Yeah, I can't. He's not like, you know, he's not my Q. He's not my, I'm not the James Bond to his Q. I can't just say... You know, make me this.
Yeah, can you do this for me at my beck and call?
That said, sometimes you just give him an idea for something to build, and he's like, oh, Yeah, that'd be great. And then I can do it on the show. And
well, know. That's the thing, right? He's got to make content. So if it's a good enough idea, sure.
Why exactly. Not?
Maybe this is it. So. Homemade didgeridoo. Actually, you know what? Just going to say it. That is a thing he would do for video.
That is a thing he might do, yeah. He might didgeridoo that.
He might didgeridoo it. He didgeridoo won't. Oh, my gosh. All right, here's this guy.
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
That's right. Your Twitter questions, everyone. Ask TMS is the hashtag on Twitter. Yeah.
And you bundle this with a call now, too, right? So
yeah, call now is open. If you want to call in and be a part of the show live, have a question for us, a thought, whatever, 801-471-0462. The number's up on the screen as well. So if you want to call, we will take your calls. And do it gladly.
And to Zalex in the chat room, just found a 3D printed didgeridoo.
What? I said that in didgeridoo what sound, didn't I?
What?
What? That's awesome.
I guess you just print out each of these tubes and then connect them.
Yeah. So you know how then, to. It's not hard? Like, it looks easy?
No, actually, it looks pretty easy. Like, I could do this.
It's just a series of tubes.
It's a series of tubes.
No big deal.
A series of tubes.
It's not hard.
8 body pieces. All right, I might do this. Maybe this will be my weekend build. I'll do a...
Oh, all right. Lava tubes.
What are those holes?
Lava tubes.
Maybe lava tubes.
Lava tubes.
Just go to Home Depot and get some PVC pipe, really? I mean, is that really all I need?
Yeah, that's the other thing, is at the end of the day, if this isn't anything more fancy than that, then just do that.
That's the point.
Here are your hashtag TMS Ask TMS questions for the week. Peter Fisher says Scott Johnson seems to really like MASH. If, like everything he does, Hollywood decides to reboot it, who would you want cast, and what would you change, or would you change the war that is taking place in? I've actually thought about this a little bit.
Huh?
I don't think they had MASH units in Vietnam. They didn't call them that. They were called something else.
If they did, Ken Burns did not talk about that.
That's good. Yeah, it's fresh in my mind, and he did not mention it. But even if there were or weren't, that's a decent setting for something like this. But I think you could also do it in a desert setting, like Desert Storm or something. Or just do it in the Korean War again. The bigger question is, who do you cast? I don't know. This is a hard call, dude.
I don't know. I mean, ooh. I know Chris Pratt's in everything.
Yeah.
But it feels like it's a good Chris Pratt, you know. Maybe Trapper John would be Chris Pratt.
Yeah, like what? Let's assume that they don't want to mess with the formula too much. Let's say they set it. We'll set it in a different war. That's fine. We'll modern it up a little bit.
Sure, sure.
But let's say they still keep it Hawkeye, Trapper, Henry, Radar, and all that. Sure, Chris Pratt, solid Trapper.
It feels like such an easy.
And I hate to dip back into Parks and Recreation, but you know who'd be a pretty good Hawkeye is that what's his name Scott guy.
Adam Scott.
Adam Scott would be a pretty good Hawkeye.
Kind of thin, all right. You know what? Let's take the easy. Let's take Chris Pratt out.
Okay.
I like Adam Scott better as a choice, and maybe. Let's see. Maybe Sean William Scott as his.
You're gonna do American Pie's Stifler, as you're thinking.
I'm gonna put Stifler in there as like your Trapper John to Adam Scott's Hawkeye.
Oh my lord!
No! Sean William Scott is the Burns man. He's totally Frank Burns.
Actually, it'd be a pretty good Frank Burns.
Have him play the dick, right? Yep. Have him play the jerk.
Yep. No, I think that's all right. Yeah. That's all right. Let's do Houlihan. I mean, let's cast her. I'm sorry. let me think about this for a second. Jessica Biel would be a great Houlihan. Here's why. It'd be a little bit of a different take. Okay, she's not quite as neurotic, but she would be cold and a little bit ruthless in terms of her rank and her what she's in charge of and all that. She's also very, very attractive. Mm-hmm. It's a great combination of what makes Houlihan Houlihan. So I think somebody like that.
All right. I was thinking when you were saying that, I was thinking maybe Rose Byrne.
Rose Byrne would be good. Sure.
Rose Byrne, yeah. Or no. You know who'd be great is from The Leftovers, and she was Proxima Midnight in Infinity War.
Carrie Coon.
Carrie Coon.
Good pick.
Give me Carrie Coon as Houlihan.
Good pick. Okay, we're going Carrie Coon. Take all the rest out.
All right.
Actually, speaking of Fargo, because she was in Fargo also, the other lady in Fargo that was hanging out with Obi-Wan Kenobi the whole time, what was her name? She was in Scott Pilgrim movie. Can't think of her name.
Yeah, she's one of my favorite. I like her a lot.
She'd be a damn fine Houlihan.
She would be. What's her name? Mary. It's three words. Mary
Bernstein, Bergen, Masterson,
Catherine
Montrose.
Gallagher. Mary. She's in Cloverfield. Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
That's it.
Yes. Ooh. I like her a lot.
Ooh,
yeah, she
you know
was,
who else would be good?
Scott Pilgrim's girlfriend.
If you're setting in a different war, you could have doctors be female anyway.
Of course.
So you know who a good Do you know who a good Hawkeye would be? A good Hawkeye would be the other one from, what's her name? She's in that the History of Sex thing on...
Masters of Sex. Yes.
Yeah,
her name is Lizzie Kaplan.
Lizzie Kaplan would be a great Hawkeye.
She would be great. And
female
she's got
Hawkeye.
The comedy chops to do it, too.
Oh, my gosh. That's a great idea.
Yep.
Okay, we've done it.
So one of the things that made Hawkeye is he was kind of a little bit of a womanizer. Would you just have her be kind of a...
manizer?
A slut? why does womanizer sound so much nicer than slut?
Well, let's see. It'll be like 2020 before our script gets into production.
Sure.
So I'm going to say she's a lesbian. She's a lesbian. And you have all kinds of... subplots about how lesbians struggling in this man's army, and you're not only you're a woman, but you're also a lesbian.
Yeah.
Well. all right, let's move on to this one. This is from Mike Haley, who says, "You have spoken to your doctor about all this blood you have been wanting to fart. It doesn't sound very healthy." It's not really a question.
Jeez.
Oh, have I spoken to the doctor? No, I don't want to fart. Okay. I just say I want to fart blood I don't want to, and I don't actually ever have. There's no farting blood. It's just a thing I say when I'm mad. So if Brian says, "Oh, my neighbor did this," I go, "Oh my gosh, dude, I'd be so pissed I'd want to fart blood." That's just a thing I say. Can't help it.
Yeah.
Brian Loewy D asks, "Have you ever been a counselor at a camp as an adult?"
Thank you for clarifying as an adult. I wasn't as a child either.
Well, I guess they have teenage ones.
I just almost made you make a spit take.
You
did.
I didn't have enough left, or I would have. It would have totally happened. But no. But have you ever? So I was a scoutmaster for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. I haven't told anyone on the show that, I don't think. But I did.
No, I knew that.
I did that. Was in charge of boys' camps and stuff like that.
Right.
So I guess that counts. But it was never the traditional like camp. You know, Bigabong or wherever, you know, kids would always go for 2 weeks. It was never
that. Welcome to Camp Bigabong. Open window.
So I never did anything outside of that.
Don't Bogart.
Did you ever go to camp, period?
The only thing I did was outdoor lab in sixth grade. Oh, no, I take that back. I did do a summer camp. I was really young, though. I mean, this would have been elementary school, fifth or sixth grade, and I don't remember much of it.
Yeah, kind of how I feel.
It was a bunch of Hungarian kids. It was like
maybe
it was a refugee camp.
Hungarian refugees? That's awesome.
No, I mean, it was a thing my grandmother hooked us up with that, I want to say it went for like 3 weeks, 4 weeks. It wasn't a full summer, but it was like it's probably a 4 week deal.
That's pretty long. 4 weeks is long. I never did a camp longer than like 5-6 days, I think.
Oh, really? Maybe it was shorter then.
But they were all hikes. And for me, it was all hikes and actual Boy Scout stuff. Like,
right.
I didn't really like any of it. Like, we did this backpack up the Uintas thing once, and everyone had ticks, and it just sucked. I hated it.
Now, you had outdoor lab in high school, right?
No, I don't know what that is. Never even heard of that.
Oh, okay. See, everybody here in Colorado knows what outdoor lab is. I don't know if that's a thing that extends outside, but in sixth grade, you go up to the mountains for a full school week.
Mm.
You go Monday, come back Friday. And while you're up there, you learn to hike. I mean, you hike. You learn to start a fire. You learn to cook. You learn to make a bed. I mean, it's like basic training kind of thing. Ends up in the mountains.
You just reminded me, and plus all this MASH talk, and then we once in a while Wet Hot American Summer comes up.
Sure.
It reminds me that we don't, or that nobody's ever really come up with a good solution for this for TV. I would watch a TV show that was a hybrid comedy drama that's just about camp. So take a little Meatballs, take a little MASH, take a little the Wet Hot American Summer, I guess. Mix that in a little bit and just have some great hour-long drama comedy about the camp counselors and the kids of the camp. I think that would be a good show.
Yeah, that'd be kind
of
cool.
With the right writers, you could make a pretty good show out of that.
And would it be like every season, same counselors, but a new batch of kids? Or would it even be every week a new batch of kids?
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that. I'd
say kid actors.
Probably do a season with the same counselors and kids for a whole season. And then the next season, it's a whole new set of kids. And the season basically represents the 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay.
So
like that.
Something like that. Do a 10-episode show, put it on Netflix. This is something I would watch.
That's totally good. Totally.
Yeah,
good.
I would watch the hell out of that.
Totally good.
It's totally good. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, Scumbrain. This is Gregson.
Oh, hello, Greg.
Oh, hey, Gregson.
Gregson. Oh, we've seen Gregson in the chat a lot lately. It's nice to see you, man. How are you?
Yeah, it's because of my stomach thing that I put in the email a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. So you're in front of the chat all the time, and that's good. We like having you around. What's on your mind?
Yeah.
I'm wondering if there's any video games that you guys go back to. Like, I always go back and play Oblivion when I'm bored of, like, other games.
That's interesting. Oblivion 2008. So if that's our standard, in this remastered edition thing, I'm totally doing that with Red Faction Guerrilla. It's really good and holds up. I go back and play Skyrim here and there, which was 2011, but I guess it's been 9 years. It's a while ago.
Right.
Do you have any of those, like, Brian, that aren't, you know, I mean, you and I could play Joust any minute, any day.
Exactly. And things like, you know, when the Switch gets Super Mario, whatever, you know,
right.
I'll totally buy it for the Switch and play it on there for a while.
Right.
For a while, Intelligent Cube was a game I liked going back to. This was like a PlayStation 1 game where you're on a big, long platform and there are boxes rolling towards you. Mm-hmm. And you have to create panels of the floor where they'll disappear.
Mm.
And this just made me think of it. It's like, oh, I wonder if that's ever been released for, like, you know, PlayStation.
There has to be, right? Doesn't there have to be for that game? There's got to be.
There's no iOS version. There's no. But I wonder if there's like a PS4 redone version. I'm not seeing it.
That game was really good. I'll go back and play I'll play Wipeout all the time if I can get it on a platform that'll play it. It's kind of cheating because they tend to collect them together into a new package like the Omega collection on the PS4 right now. But I love getting in there and floating around in a hover car. And then if you don't count stuff that's persistent like World of Warcraft or whatever, it's been around here forever. I will go back to 2012 once in a while and play Black Flag. The Assassin's Creed Black Flag is still maybe the best Assassin's Creed they ever made. I do like doing that.
Cool.
But I don't know. It just depends on your mood. And of course, classic arcade stuff, I'm always down for that. You know?
Yeah.
I'd do that right now if there was one in front of me. Did you remember? They were selling those little joust machines that are like this big, and you and I saw them or something. Did we?
It was a Tempest machine.
It was a little Tempest machine. Did you end up doing that?
I did, and I think their scheduled delivery date is August.
And it was a Kickstarter or not?
It was a Kickstarter. Yes. Let me see if they've released any.
I wanted to
information about that. It's funny, the other day I was looking to see what Kickstarter things I haven't received yet, because I've got quite a few
things
I've Indiegogo'd and Kickstarted that
I want to see that thing when you get it. You got
to
get it.
Yeah. Have yet to be delivered.
Well, while you're looking at that, let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, it's Dave Fuller from Canada.
Well, hello, Dave from Canada. It's nice to hear from you. What's on your mind, man?
Just a silly question. Would you rather be trapped on an island with Ruby Rod or Leo Getz?
Ruby Rod or Leo Getz?
Wow.
He knows that both of these characters annoy us.
Yes. More so Ruby Rod U. I mean, I'm not a massive fan of Ruby Rod, but I think he really rubs your chode the wrong way.
He does, but you know who rubs my chode the wrong way worse, though? I think Leo Getz does. I think I'm going to pick Ruby Rod to go with.
I think I'd pick Ruby Rod,
As much as it seems like I hate Ruby Rod, I hate him less than I...
It seemed like Leo Getz was always on, whereas Ruby Rod, when he was... when the cameras weren't off, he wasn't as obnoxious.
Yeah, that's true.
But okay. That thing?
Oh, geez. Yeah, Replicate. So here we go. Estimated delivery August 2018, but have there been any updates? Let's see.
That's always the scary bit.
Last update, March 9th, 2018, but it's not... I don't think it's a matter of... let's see. Oh, God. I always worry reading the comments, too. Yeah. Any updates? How come there are no updates? Here we go. June 19th. Sorry for the lack of updates. We have an update coming soon showing our progress, and we think you'll be stoked to see our progress. Thank you all for your patience and support.
Cool. Yeah. Hopefully that's good.
And then somebody just reiterated, I love it when Kickstarter backers lose their shit in the comments section.
It happens all the time. Like, we're putting out our backer kit stuff today, and we're a little late with it, but... You know, there's always somebody who's honking their horn going, dude, where is it? We're like, no, we're on schedule. Everything's good. We got this. Don't worry. I'm not going to screw this up.
That's funny.
Two more questions. I Am Sci-Fi says, mustard or mayo on your ham and cheese? Follow-up question, what cheese do you choose? Ham and cheese, I would go for pepper jack. And yes, I would do, it's one of my few mayo, because I don't like mayo generally speaking. I think it's kind of gross. But I would eat it on a ham and cheese. And mustard, both.
So I missed the question because the chat room is being super distracting.
Distracting. That's awesome. What they do. Those distracting bunch of freaks. Mustard or mayo on your ham and cheese? And he says mustard but I'm putting both on there. So what do you say?
Yeah, both for sure. As a matter of fact, today at Podbelly, I had mustard. I had the wreck sandwich.
Oh, the wreck is so good.
It is really good. I had mustard, mayo, and hot peppers on there.
Those peppers
will
kill you.
And I would do those on my regular ham and cheese sandwich as well.
You might have a hot poo later. I'm just warning you.
Dude, I made some pickled... did I talk about the pickled jalapenos I made?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but you never reported on how they turned out.
Oh, dude, they are so good. They are so good that it's like I want to just eat them without putting them on anything. Like, I just want to snack on them.
Yeah, I love a good snacky pickly thing. Nothing wrong with that.
I'm going to find the recipe again and upload it, like put a link or give somebody a link to it, because it is, they're sweet pickled jalapenos, and the combo of the sweet and hot, they're just so damn good.
Yeah, that's what the girls tell me.
All right.
Final email, the Twitter question. Heather Jeske says, since Wendy is moving to Minneapolis, will we see a TMS meetup in there or up out there sometime soon? That would be awesome. Absolutely. Like, that's a great excuse for me to go out and see my sister and her family. We would absolutely do some sort of meetup out there, and who knows?
We would do like a quick fire therapy questions thing. So like up on stage with Wendy, and you get 10 seconds to tell her your issue, and she has to solve it in 30 seconds or less without using the phrase white privilege.
Yep, there you go. I don't know if it's possible. But also, Jules would probably help us organize such a thing, which would be cool because she lives
right
out
there. Oh, she's up there too, right.
She's like right around the corner from Wendy, if they get the place they're getting. So,
oh, that would be so awesome.
Anyway, count on it.
Yeah, not in the winter. We will not be doing Minnesota TMS in the winter.
Nope. I don't know when it'll be. Probably next spring, but it ain't going to be in the winter, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
That's it for your calls and your questions on Twitter. Big thanks for those. And again... we like this open phone stuff, so if you guys want to take advantage of that, be here live on the PM edition of the show every Friday at 1:30 p.m. Mountain, and we'll take your calls like we just did, and during the week, and whenever you feel like it, you can send us these Ask TMS questions at the hashtag AskTMS on Twitter. It's going to do it for the show. Before we get out of here, a moment to remind you to vote on the show's title today. People have been submitting titles. They're always great. Frogpants.showbot.tv. And rock the vote, as they said in the 80s. wasn't that a thing? It was a thing, wasn't it?
I mean, they did say rock the vote, but voting on show titles. Okay, yes.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was saying. Are you guys distracting Brian still with your chat?
No, I'm actually pulling up the recipe for these sweet candied jalapenos.
You're gonna have to send us that
in the chat room.
Yeah, put it there. But when you do, I want to make sure to get it because my wife would love to make those. I told her about them, and she says, well, let me know when they're done. And then I forgot to ask you when they were done. So,
yeah, let's see. What was the way she describes it? Let's see here. Da, 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 da.
Full of zesty flavor.
The result was gobsmackingly, head-spinningly, brain-addictingly delicious. Sweet, spicy, and savory candied jalapeno rings are way too easy to eat on just about everything. I've stashed them in sandwiches, chopped them up on baked beans, tucked them into tacos, used the syrup to brush meat on the grill, perched a couple of rings on top of a cream cheese-laden cracker, and all sorts of evil things.
I'm in. I want that real bad. Everything you just said, I'm in.
Yeah.
Oh, my mouth is watering just thinking about it. All right.
Right.
Put that somewhere in like our Slack or something too.
I'll put it in our Discord. I'll put it on our Slack. That's
Slack,
a good idea.
Discord, whatever you want. All right. That's gonna do it. Thanks everybody for being here. TMS can be found in its entirety at frogpants.com/TMS, where you'll find links to everything, including our Patreon link, which is the reason we have this fifth episode a week. That's patreon.com/TMS. And next week, I think, is normal. It's the week after that gets a little weird, working on some guest host stuff and some other things. So we'll let you guys know. Weird days of summer, but we'll let you know. That's it,
right.
I believe. Is that it? That's it. Find us on Twitter, Coverville Scott Johnson Morning Stream. All right, we're out of here, Brian. Let's play.
I just put a link to the didgeridoo in the chat room. Hold on, let's try this again.
He really wants that didgeridoo, you guys. He really wants.
Yeah, foodie
it.
With family, candied jalapenos. There we go.
Oh, there it is, foodie with family. Oh, what a cool website. Just looking at them.
Yes.
When I was a kid, you couldn't force me to eat food like this, but now I want it all the time. What does that mean?
I put a link.
What do you think that means? Why do I want it?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it looks like, oh, it's going to be too hot. Like, oh, no. Oh,
look at them.
These are so good, dude. I'm telling you.
And this is what you used. You used this to make them?
I used this exact recipe. And I went to the grocery store, bought some canning jars.
Yeah.
And it's a quick heat. Like, it's hot, and then the heat goes away, and you're left with the flavor, and it's so good.
I'm really in. Okay. That's what I'm doing next in my life.
Okay, cool. Brian, I put a link in the Slack, too.
Let's play a request, if you might, if you will.
Yes, and then I'm going to go watch Suburban Commando. All right, here we go. Deanna wrote in and said, Brian, is what she really said. Hi, Brian. My husband, Alex, is a big fan of The Morning Stream. We listen to it on every road trip we take, and he has started his own podcasting network thanks to y'all inspiring him. And he's turning 30 on July 15th, which is Sunday. I wanted to see if I could get a shout-out from you guys to him for his 30th birthday. Hi, Alex!
Hey, buddy!
His favorite song of all time is Green Day's Basket Case. Thank you, Deanna, pronounced D-Anna.
I think you did it just fine. I think you did it fine.
I wonder if she thought I was going to pronounce it Dina. like D-E-A-N-N-A.
I don't know. It made sense to me when you said it.
But. Maybe there's supposed to be a space, D-Anna. I don't know. You'll have to let us know. Yeah, Basket Case. A lot of people cover Basket Case, and I had to listen through a lot of them to choose. Once I came across this one, though, it made it a super easy decision. This is the band Puffy. You might also know them as Puffy AmiYumi, because that's named after their two lead singers, two women whose names are Ami and Yumi. Mm-hmm. They did the Teen Titans Go theme, and one of their albums was produced by, I think, Roger Manning of Jellyfish. It was one of the guys from Jellyfish. And it's really, really good.
And they also do what am I thinking of? There's something else that they did that's famous. It's also a cartoon, right?
They did a Puffy AmiYumi cartoon. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, it was an animation style based on them. It was actually based on them, right?
Based on them. And it's in that same style as
that's it.
Teen Titans.
Yes. Yep. Okay. All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yes. Anyway, here's their cover of Green. Oh, this is so cool. It came out in 2009, and I bought this when I was out there in Japan. Came out on an album called Puffy, simply Puffy. Here is Basket Case.
All right, we'll see you guys on Monday. Come on back.
Do you have the time to listen to me? Why have an essay and everything all at once? I am one of those melodramatic fruits, neurotic to the bone, no doubt. Cause I keep myself the creeps. Sometimes my mind plays tricks on me. It all keeps adding up. I think I'm breaking up. Am I just paranoid? I'm just on.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Ta te ti to too.